Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, would be the way that I would start giving my testimony of why it's so crucial and imperative in the life of our church and in your life particularly that you know why I believe biblically it's wrong to be a Roman Catholic and to claim to be a Christian. There are seven reasons, but I'll introduce that starting in verse 6. Because the Apostle Paul was confronted with something of nearly as great a magnitude as the Roman Church is, and you can see how he spoke out very strongly. In fact, this book of his epistle to the Galatians is the most strong, denouncing, almost imprecatory of all of Paul's writings. Nowhere else does he so strongly wield the sword of the Spirit against specific individuals as when they tampered with the simplicity of the gospel. Look at verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. The Apostle Paul went to these people on his first missionary journey. Of course, in theological circles, I would be of the southern Galatian belief. There are two schools of thought. One is that we don't even know who Paul was writing this to. The other is that we do. And I believe that when you read chapter 13 and 14 of the book of Acts, you find the group of people that Paul was ministering to. And then he wrote back a letter to them to encourage them. This is probably Paul's second epistle. It was written about the time of the council in Jerusalem because he was so agitated about the fact that people were coming in and destroying the gospel. Now, how can you destroy the gospel? We'll keep reading. Which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That's an awful, awful, judgmental thing to say. But Paul, the apostle, was very serious. As we have said before, verse 9, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Verse 11, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me was not according to man. I didn't receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through revelation of Jesus Christ. So, briefly, that introduction to tell you that the Apostle Paul was quite angry because a group of people had infiltrated those southern Galatian cities. And what they were telling the people was, believing in Jesus Christ by faith is not enough. You've got to add a little surgery to it, circumcision, and a whole list of laws, the laws of Moses. That's why he said it's really not another gospel, it's a different gospel. Because anything that clouds the simple gospel of the grace of God revealed in Jesus Christ, that you don't need three theological dictionaries, you don't need a seminary degree, you don't need to go on a pilgrimage to get it. All you need to do is acknowledge the overwhelming debt we owe to God and the singular sacrifice that Jesus Christ offered. That's the gospel. But what happened to that gospel? Well, if you turn back to the 15th chapter of Matthew, I want to show you the problem started when Christ was here, and it's never left us. And if I was to give a general introduction of what's wrong with the Roman Church, it would be Matthew 15, and starting in verse 3. I'll start in verse 1. Some people say, why don't you read in all, and I'll read it all, 1 to 6. Because I don't want you to miss this, because the real danger we're facing today is the elevation of some very erudite, some very earnest people's opinions elevated over the Bible. And when you do that, you totally destroy the simple gospel message that Christ accomplished on the cross. Look at Matthew 15 and verse 1. Then some of the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now this wasn't saying that the disciples were a bunch of slobs. What it's saying is they didn't do it their way. They did it their own way instead of they didn't do it the Pharisees' way. Basically, in Christ's time, the Pharisees went through this ritual that involved taking sacred water and putting it from one hand to the other and then letting it run down to the bottoms of their elbows. And then they would take it again, they put it from one hand to the other, and then they'd let it out of their hands and it would run down. And they would wash their hands all the way down to the bottom of their elbows. It had become a tradition. And it became such a big thing that you'd wear your special clothing and you'd come into the banquet and you'd get a little of this water and you'd pour it in your hands and you'd let it run down and drip on the tablecloth. And you'd do it several times. Now look, verse 3. And he, that's Christ, answered, Matthew 15:3, and said to them, "And why do you yourselves transgress the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions?" That's why there's no tradition at Quidnesset that is not bound to the Word of God that we are not willing to change. Did you catch what I said? There's nothing in stone around here except whatever's built on the rock of Christ. And that's why we have to be very careful, because after people are doing something for very long, they start thinking it's the only way to do it and the right way to do it. Just to give you an example, Sunday school. You might think that Jesus started Sunday school. Jesus did not start Sunday school. Sunday school was started in 1783 by a fellow named Robert Raikes in England. No one had Sunday school before that. Did you know that? But yet, if you said, "We're going to change Sunday school," some people go right through the ceiling. They would have a heart attack. They would collapse outside. They would quit going to the church because they think it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. The Bible says that parents are to instruct their children. And your children's primary spiritual learning should be from you and from me as a parent, and not from Sunday school. That's a secondary. That's a supplement. Do your children live on vitamins? Church is a vitamin. Sunday school is a vitamin. It's a supplement. It's not their diet. If kids ate vitamins all the time, they'd be sick. If your children only get a diet from Sunday school, they'll be sick. Traditions had been elevated. Look at verse 4. "For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of his father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother anything of mine that it might have been helped, that you might have been helped by, has been given to God." It was a clever way to keep your money to yourself and not share with your parents who raised you. In the Jewish tradition, your parents stayed with you, much like is happening nowadays, after they got old and infirm, and you just basically ushered them into the kingdom when they died, and they died at home, instead of being, you know, consigned off somewhere where someone else can have the problem, because we want to, you know, have our own life and have fun, et cetera, et cetera. So they had a problem back then, and that selfish mentality was going then, and what they were saying is, "We can't take care of you. You're on your own. Everything of ours belongs to God and me." And so that was a tradition they started. Well, look at verse 6. "He is not to honor his father or his mother. And thus you..." Now listen, this is the most important point of this introduction. "And thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition."